Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and thank you for listening to us today. I am pleased to welcome you for the fourth episode of our new podcast series hosted by the UJapan Center for Industrial Cooperation. Each of the episodes will tell you more about the UJapan Economic Partnership Agreement and will be focusing on explaining some specific rules of origin with practical examples. Our expert for this podcast series, Roger Tenet, is a fiscal expert who has been dealing with provincial origin for more than 20 years, not only in his own country as a public servant, controlling and giving assistance to economic operators, but also in different foreign countries as a speaker in several provincial origin workshops organized by the EU Commission. Before we start, please note that a visual support has been released along with this podcast. Feel free to consult it during or after this audio file. So without further ado, I will now leave the floor to Mr. Tenet, who will tell you more today about long-term suppliers' declarations and origin statements.
So thank you, Mrs. Lu. Welcome to this presentation dealing today with two topics. We will first have a look at the suppliers' declarations, and more precisely, the long-term suppliers' declarations. And after that, I will tell you how to fill in a statement on origin, which is the proof of preferential origin issued by an exporter and which allows the importer to benefit from the preferential treatment in the framework of the EPA. So, as already said, we will start with the long-term supplies declaration. The supplies declaration is not a specific topic of the EPA between the EU and Japan. Supplies declarations are also in use in all the other FTAs. You will not find the legal basis in the EPA, but in the Commission Implementing Regulation 2015-2447 of the 24th of November 2015, which has been amended by Commission Implementing Regulation 2017-989. Articles 61 to 66 explain how to use the supplies declarations, and the text of the different types of supply declarations are in Annexes 22-15 to 22-18. So what is a supplier's declaration? A supplier's declaration is a document by which a supplier located in the EU provides information to his customer, also located in the EU, concerning the originating status of goods regarding the specific preferential rules of origin. It concerns the originating status of goods that will be exported unchanged by the customer or incorporated in a new product by the customer. And that new product can also be exported. Supply declarations are mainly used for deliveries of goods within the European Union. However, in some cases, suppliers' declarations are also used in trade with some partner countries of the EU. But we will not tackle here in this presentation that part of the legislation. Within the framework of this presentation, we consider only the use of suppliers' declaration between operators located in the EU. There is no legal obligation to issue a supplier's declaration, and no authorization is required to issue a supplier's declaration. A supplier's declaration may be issued as well for a single consignment as for multiple consignments of the same product during a period. In this case, then, we use what we call the long-term supplies declaration. long-term suppliers declarations are valid for consignments over a longer period of time. They can be made out for any consignments delivered during a period up to a maximum of 2 years. A long-term suppliers declaration is valid for all the goods mentioned in the suppliers declaration that are delivered within the specified period. The making out of a long-term suppliers declaration requires that throughout the entire period of validity, the originating status of the goods is ensured. The supplier shall immediately inform the customer of the goods if the information provided in his long-term suppliers declaration is no longer applicable. A long-term suppliers declaration states three dates: the date of issuance, the start date, and the end date. The start date may, of course, be the date of issuance, or a date in the past, or a date in the future, but may not be more than 12 months before, or not more than 6 months after the date of issuance. And the end date may not be more than 24 months after the start date. The period of validity is mentioned in the long-term suppliers declaration by the wording, "This declaration is valid for all shipments of these products dispatched from," and then start date to end date. The most common and simple way to issue the long-term suppliers declarations is to start them on the 1st of January and to end them on the 31st of December. So the maximum period of validity is 24 months, but it is not compulsory. It can be less. Before going through the formal requirements when issue a long-term supply declaration, I would like to highlight some remarks. A long-term supply declaration is issued without the involvement of the customs. Nevertheless, don't forget, a subsequent control by the customs is never excluded. And do not forget that the supplier is responsible for the correctness of the declarations. When you make out a long-term supply declaration, ensure that the goods are described precisely enough to clearly identify them. It is also possible to list the goods in an annex. When you mention for which agreements the goods have the originating status, the ISO Alpha 2 country code may be used instead of country names. Abbreviations for groups of countries or territories is also allowed, as for instance, OCT for overseas countries and territories. And in case the EPA EU Japan is concerned, the origin criterion is compulsory, specifically when the customer exports the product unchanged. The origin criteria used in the long-term supply declarations are the same than those in use for the statement on origin. The criterion can be put on the long-term supply declaration itself or on any other document with a link to the supplier's declaration. A long-term supply declaration may also be issued subsequently in the limits of the period of validity. remember that the start day may not be more than 12 months before the date of issuance. To conclude this topic, a few words about the signature of the long-term supply declaration. A handwritten signature is compulsory, but there is an exemption if the invoice and the long-term supply declaration are issued electronically and if these two conditions are fulfilled. There is an agreement between the supplier and the buyer, and a written undertaking have been given by the supplier accepting complete responsibility for every supplier's declaration, which identifies him as if it had been signed with his handwritten signature. Do not forget that for all the supplier's declaration, the supplier has to be clearly identified. This can be done at hand of a letterhead paper and or by a company stamp. The signer has also to write his full name and his position in the company. In the PowerPoint presentation on slide 12, you will find the link to get more detailed information on the supplier's declarations. Let us now switch to the second topic, the statements on origin. What is a statement on origin? It is not a document, but a text by which the exporter states the originating status of a product. This text can be found in Annex 3D of the EPA. The statement on origin is made out on an invoice or on any other commercial document that describes the originating product in sufficient detail to enable its identification. It may also be made out on a separate sheet with reference to the invoice. A statement on origin is valid 12 months from the date it is made out. It allows the buyer importer to benefit from the preferential treatment. And it may apply as well to single shipments as to multiple shipments. We will now see how to draft the statement on origin and what to write in the different empty places. First of all, the period. If the statement on origin is completed for multiple shipments of identical products, you must indicate the period for which the statement on origin will apply. That period shall not exceed 12 months. And where a period is not applicable, the field can be left blank. The exporter reference. For Japanese exporter, we have, or they have, the Japan corporate number. For the EU exporter, they will be identified by their REX number. The REX number is not compulsory when the value of the originating goods of a consignment does not exceed 6,000 euro. The origin of the goods may be indicated either in full or using abbreviations, GP for Japan, for instance, or EU for European Union. It is compulsory to mention how the preferential origin has been obtained according to which working rule. This is expressed at hand of a letter and a number. Letter A, in case you export wholly obtained products. Letter B, if you export products produced exclusively from originating materials. C, in the case you produce something at hand of non-originating materials. And then you have to go further, giving the working rule that has been used. It will be C1 if the rule is a change in tariff classification, C2 if the rule is a value rule, C3 in case it is a specific process rule, and C4 if it concerns specific rules related to vehicles and parts of vehicles. And then additional to these three first letters, you have letter D in case you use the accumulation, and letter E if you use the tolerances. So for instance, we could have an example which could be C1E, which means that I have a product produced at hand of non-originating materials. The rule I applied was a change in tariff classification, and I have made use of tolerances. In case you have different headings on an invoice, you have to mention the criterion used for every heading. If theoretically, in Annex 3B, we have different possible working rules for a specific heading, the exporter must mention the real applied criterion. And in case the exporter fulfills all the criteria, then he has the choice. The place and date may be omitted if the information is contained on the document itself. But do not forget the printed name of the exporter. So we have reached the end of this podcast. For those who want additional information on the statements on origin, I have two links on slide 20 of the PowerPoint presentation. Should you still have additional questions for these two topics developed today, don't hesitate to mail them to the EU Japan Help Desk. Many thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tenet, for your expertise once again. And as you very well mentioned, should you have any questions about the EU-Japan EPA and rules of origin, feel free to contact the EPA help desk of the EU-Japan Center. And of course, as usual, stay tuned for the release of the fifth episode next week. We hope to welcome you again very soon. Thank you very much.